With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
My Wrangler jeans from Walmart are legit my favorite go-to pants. They got that slim cut that's always fresh for going out.
Hey, what's up?
They're durable enough, even for my shift.
Water wrap.
And stretchy enough for when I want to kick back and chill with a movie. So basically, they can do it all, and on my budget. I mean, come on. You really can't beat all that. Shop your Wrangler pants at Walmart.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down. But when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families, where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Coffee and Code. I'm your host, Ashley Coffee. Coffee and Code is your weekly rundown for the latest top tech news from around the world delivered every Wednesday. On my show, you'll find a mix of the latest tech news from around the world, including emerging tech, privacy, cybersecurity, and more, including interviews with experts, innovators, and everyday tech tips to level up your life. Subscribe to Coffee and Code to be notified when episodes go live. You can also find me on Twitter at AshleyCoffee_ and on Instagram at AshleyRCoffee89. Thanks for listening and welcome to Coffee and Code. Hello and welcome to your weekly episode of Coffee and Code. This week's episode is a special one because we have a guest today, Mr. Jordan Williams from Arbor XR. Jordan and I actually met each other, I think, 2 years ago when I was working at the University of Oklahoma as an emerging technologies librarian. And at the time, Jordan was working on some adventures with a company that he was with at the time that he'll be talking about today. So we have a common shared interest in all things emerging tech and VR specifically. But I'm excited to have Jordan on the show today. He's going to talk a little bit about what is XR, a little bit about Arbor XR, which he's currently at, and kind of what his future is on this exciting world of XR as it's becoming more popular for training and enterprise and education, and honestly for fun. If you look at the data of VR adoption right now, Oculus Quest headsets are really selling fast. And with the battle of these standalone headsets, 2021 is going to be a fun ride for the metaverse. So without further ado, I introduce Jordan Williams. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ashley. Very glad to be here and spend some time with you.
Cool. Well, so I gave a little bit of a bio about you, but tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Arbor XR.
Yeah, for sure. So I graduated from OU in 2013, kind of with a degree in management information systems. I took an entrepreneurship class that my senior year, my third senior year, and realized that entrepreneurship is something that I want to be a part of. But I ended up just getting an IT related scripting type of job in oil and gas in Oklahoma, of course. And started working on some things nights and weekends, eventually stumbled upon VR. And at that point, really everything changed. My two co-founders and I, we had to get into VR. We knew the technology was going to change the world. So we started a VR arcade in Penn Square Mall in Oklahoma City. That was kind of our genesis story. That's how we got into the space. I'm excited to talk more about our journey. But Arbor XR, which is where we are at now, is a company that's focused specifically on helping companies remove all the friction related to deploying XR at scale. And when I say XR, I mean augmented reality plus virtual reality. It's just kind of a way to condense both of those into one thing. So XR is, and I guess for those who don't know, AR, augmented reality, easiest way for me to describe it is like, if you see in Pokemon Go, that's AR. So like you see images in the real world through a device. A practical application that I'm excited about, maybe that's easy to understand, is like, imagine you're at the grocery store and you see, you know, right now you see like physical tags underneath food of like how much it costs. Well, in AR, you can just have your glasses on and walk around the grocery store and you can see digital overlays of like what the price of everything is. That's the future here in the next few years.
Oh, for sure. Especially with Apple's patent behaviors and hiring behaviors lately. I think I checked a few weeks ago and they were at over 100, I think 96 open positions for AR, VR related jobs. Which is wild.
Apple, Facebook, there's a ton of very large companies getting very serious about AR and VR.
Which makes me so excited. Mm-hmm. So kind of circling back around to seeing the power of VR, I want to hear about your first VR experience. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So Will Stackable, co-founder, he was always into the latest gadgets. And he bought the HTC Vive in 2016, basically when it first came out. And I came over to his house in September, October of 2016. And I mean, he just put me in something really simple, like a zombie training simulator. If anyone's tried that, it's like you have these cardboard zombies coming towards you in VR. And I know that sounds silly, but it was just unbelievable, the experience and how immersed I felt in the environment. My blood was pumping. And, you know, it was just a really intense experience. And I knew at that point, like, wow, like this, there's just so many applications this technology can offer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I love hearing people recant their first VR experience because it's truly refreshing, because I feel like in our lifetime, we only get to see certain number of technological advances that make a significant impact in like human history and the way we communicate, like the iPhone did. Mm-hmm. And I really feel the same about VR.
100%. I mean, it is the next evolution of, I don't know. I mean, it's of technology, of social media, it is a big advancement, as like you said, the smartphone, as the internet. It's very exciting.
For sure. So now that people are starting to see like VR is here to stay, they're looking at opportunities for training, you know, training their employees. I think I saw a recent article that Bank of America committed to training their cashiers with virtual reality, right, which is a new, you know, Fortune 50 company, which is pretty exciting. So I think they're now that bigger companies are starting to showcase that they are trusting this technology. They're trusting in the investment of that technology. It's really going to put the foot on the gas on the demand for VR, both on a consumer and an enterprise level. I mean, we're already seeing the consumer, you know, adoption with the low cost of this Oculus Quest 2 headset. I mean, $299, you can have an all-in-one headset in your house. You don't have to have a gaming computer. Right. Like, what an amazing time to be alive to have like a really great VR headset all-in-one that's accessible. Like, I feel like that is a huge leap and an advancement for VR. But I feel like this was very telling because I recall in 2015, Mark Zuckerberg gave an interview about why he wanted to buy Oculus, because he said the future was like virtual assets, like, you know, clothes, digital clothes you can buy, you know, for AR, or like Gucci AR bags or whatever. And it's just wild to think that that roadmap has been like forecasted for you know, some time here. And now we're kind of seeing it come to fruition. Right. So it's just the battle of like, who's going to get to it first and who's going to do it best and like, who's going to actually sustain with it. It's just kind of a race to see who will get there. It's really interesting.
It is. And yeah, Facebook's vision for VR is interesting. I mean, they think that VR is going to be a part of people's everyday life, which I agree with. But I don't agree that that's actually healthy for humanity. But maybe we'll get into that later on in the show.
Wow. Okay. Yes. Yes. And yes. So can you tell us a little bit more? So you mentioned that you studied MIS in college, in entrepreneurship, and no shame for taking 6 years to graduate college. That's a small slice in the span of your life. But what were some, or who were people that inspired you to dive into this particular field that you're in now?
You mean VR specifically, or entrepreneurship, or?
I will say VR.
Yeah. I don't know if there was, I guess I'm going to answer that question in a roundabout way. I mean, honestly, okay, actually, like, I think I'm more passionate about like building and creating things and seeing things, you know, truly impacted than I am about technology specifically. Obviously, technology is a means to like seeing huge impact. But I think for me, the driving force really was, wow, this technology is truly going to change the world in as much as smartphones did, if not more. And I want to be a part of this. I see a lot of really amazing applications that VR, AR can have. I also see some things where that it won't be so good. And so I want to be a part of this and get into it so that I can, you know, well, really the founders, so that we can have a voice at the table, really, as this industry continues to develop and grow, you know. And so, like, for example, I don't, just maybe a rabbit trail here, but when the internet was first being built, there was actually a lot of talk about how you monetize the internet. And what was talked about a lot was, well, what if, like, you know, you would basically pay pennies for certain web visits or websites, and just like very, very small transactional fees to like visit certain websites or to do certain things on the internet that obviously never ended up happening. But there's a lot of discussion on, wow, maybe that should have happened, because the result now is everything is advertising based, and it potentially is really negatively influencing a lot of behavior on the internet. So basically just saying that the VR, ultimately, there's a lot of positive that we see, but there's also some things that we'd like to be able to voice our opinion as things potentially get out of whack. And so that's kind of a driving force for us, is to see this industry grow in the most healthy way possible.
Yes, yes. And let's expand more into that, because I myself personally am I'm passionate about mindfulness and presence. Mm-hmm. So trying to blend that in a digital world is a challenge.
Yeah.
Especially as we're working remotely, and I do my best to make sure that, you know, I'm not spending too much time in VR, because I totally understand what you're saying. So let's talk about more, like, how do you yourself balance that life of working in technology and working with technology and embracing it not only for work but also for pleasure and communication?
Yeah.
How do you balance that mindfulness of life?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly tough. And for me, it's not, I mean, it's, I'm a gamer. I've been a gamer for a while. And so that's been my, yeah. I mean, if it's not VR, it's whatever. Right now, my thing is chess, online chess.
Nice. So,
I think for me, honestly, there's a lot that's changed for me personally over this past year and how I would answer that kind of question. And I think I have grown to really appreciate silence and solitude, and really seeing the value that can have. And I think for me, maybe getting a little personal, going off the desired course here, but I think for me, I have to balance, why am I running to technology? Am I running to technology because I feel like I need to escape, or is it, you know, a healthy kind of, hey, I'm just relaxing or enjoying, or, you know, whatever it may be. And so I have to be mindful of, why am I going to technology? Why am I browsing social media? Why am I diving into, you know, a VR game or whatever it may be? Am I feeling stressed or anxious and I feel like that's my medicine right now? Well, maybe I need to kind of rethink. So anyway, maybe getting a little too philosophical, but that's kind of what has been going on in my head a lot actually lately on how I balance that.
No, you were on to something there, Jordan, because I think the fact that you have that self-awareness to know what is the intent behind what I'm doing. I think there are times we can get so mechanical with our behaviors and, you know, before we know it, our phone has been in our hand for like 10 minutes and we're like, yeah, how did we get here? Right. Why am I looking at this ad of like cat sweaters? Mm-hmm. Has happened before.
Oh,
but yeah, just having that balance there, just so important, and asking yourself that intent behind that technology. And I hear you with silence too. I'm like, man, some of my best mind clarity moments are just, you know, I'm hiking in nature, just the silence of nature. It's the best.
Yeah, exactly. It's awesome.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about your time at Springboard VR. So what were your biggest takeaways from your time there at the company? So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. You know, what a awesome experience it was. I mean, we were essentially creating a new industry, obviously not by ourselves, but we were part of a completely brand new industry in location-based entertainment VR. I guess not completely new if you count like family entertainment centers that have gaming and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but in a big way, it was brand new. I think some of my bigger takeaways there's a few things. One, first mover advantage, it was huge for us. I mean, we started the arcade. We very quickly realized there was this massive need for software that did not exist. And we built it and we started pushing it as hard as we could and as fast as we could. And that really proved to be incredibly beneficial for us and for our success overall. I would say a second thing that I've learned is just the power of focus. I would say like at our best is when we were only doing one or maybe two things. We were at our worst when we were trying to do, you know, location-based entertainment and education and this and
this all is kind the of things. Funny.
But we at one point considered, because we had, 2,000 or plus, I don't remember. We had a lot of PCs that were running our software across the world, you know, in these VR arcades. And so we thought, well, what if we create a program that at night, after these arcade operators go home and shut down, what if we just mine cryptocurrency overnight and created an additional revenue stream for our operators? Which, of course, like, it's actually kind of an okay idea,
yeah.
But it was more the focus and the distraction that it put on our entire team and a dev team to kind of think through, well, what would that solution look like and how are we going to do that? And I think after many lessons or bad experiences, I guess, finally learned that, man, just singular focus is so valuable.
I think
we're finally starting to get into that rhythm now with Arbor.
That's exciting. Yes, I totally agree with you there. That singular focus is so important because it's just so easy to do all the things right. Whenever you kind of see how the sausage is made, you're like, oh, yeah. Well, let's do it. Why not? Yeah. Very, very cool. So, you know, in that segue of you working at Springboard and kind of transitioning into to Arbor XR, which is where you currently are today, what are some past projects that you're most proud of? That could be abstract, doesn't have to be in the realm of your jobs. Mm-hmm. It could be something that you worked on as a student. Just would like to hear that.
Yeah, good question. I am not a model student, so I can't say that there was much to take away from my time at school. But I mean, I'll go back to it. I kind of touched on it earlier, but the fact that we were in this completely new industry, just figuring it all out, it was just so fun. And there was, I mean, you're constantly learning and talking to different people about what they're doing and how they're thinking about doing it. And, but I guess more specifically, we really helped shape the overall business model, the unit economics in that space of what is a unit of VR worth or it, you know, per hour. And how do you charge for that? And what should arcade operators charge consumers? And what should content creators charge arcade operators for licensing of their content? That process took a really long time to get there. But I mean, it's certainly something I'm really proud of like saying that, man, we shaped what that industry is today. And I don't know the long-term viability of it. I think it's certainly going to be around for quite a bit longer, but it's cool to know that we have a massive imprint on the industry today and how it's currently being run and operated. And yeah, that feels good.
Yeah. Now that you're talking about it, you're jogging my memory. I recall, I think I used a specific model of yours because when I worked at the University of Oklahoma on the emerging tech team, we had a lot of people that would engage with us, mostly, you know, educational other schools that were like, hey, we see your makerspace and we want to do it. You know, what do we need to do? And we would just kind of see that connectivity a lot. And, you know, they would ask us, how many people do we need to staff this, you know, makerspace? There was one school, my gosh, they had a old planetarium that just casually wasn't being used. And they were wanting, they just somehow got like this, you know, duffel bag full of money and they wanted to build like a VR makerspace. So we're kind of talking them through like, these are the considerations you need to think through for like power supply. And, you know, when you get the technology, you need to think through what you're going to do with it and how you're going to manage it and how you're going to staff the space, because emerging tech is cool, but there's a lot more to it than just buying it. Right. You have to be intentional with how you're using it. So they were asking us of like, how many people do we need to staff? And I think we used your model based on when Matt Cook was working with y'all It was like a 1-to-6 ratio, like one person to six people. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, you're jogging my memory as well. It's been a while, but yeah, I think that is, it was 1-to-6. I think at other times we played around with 1-to-10. I think we were, yeah, that's funny that you use that. I guess that's pretty cool actually to hear about it.
Yeah, I guess honestly, I would say like 1-to-2 is plenty. I remember doing workshops. We'd bring in students in different schools, and you know, this is pre-pandemic when people actually put on VR headsets and enclosed spaces and sat at tables next to each other. But we had like 2 people in the Oculus Rift, 1 person on the HTC Vive. And then I'm trying to get like a couple of Oculus Go's going, and everyone's like, where do I click? What's going on?
Right. So that's the distinction we were trying to make is without our software. Yeah. I mean, it's 1-to-2 at the most, if not just a 1-to-1. But we were trying to make the argument that with our software, you know, you need not even half of the amount of staff that you would otherwise. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Wild. I always wonder whatever happened to that old planetarium, just casually wasn't being used. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on the future? I know you've mentioned that you feel like XR, you know, VR is here to stay, but what are your thoughts of kind of what that looks like in the next 1 year, in the next 5 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'd maybe break out that question into two categories. One is just VR and AR training. Mm-hmm. And then the second is the VR and AR consumer. I think first the training, VR and AR training, I mean, it is really hot right now, and it's continuing to pick up the pace and speed and momentum. Like you just mentioned, Bank of America, they're doing a 4,000 headset deployment. Walmart has already now trained over 1 million people in VR. There's a lot of large companies, a lot of Fortune 500s that are taking VR much more seriously. And the exciting part is VR is proving to be much more effective than your normal training, whatever that may be, whether that's a PowerPoint or even true on the job training. It's VR. And then obviously, I mean, and then when you're just comparing on the job versus VR, that you have to consider things like cost and safety and those sorts of things. So, I mean, with the training space, but I mean, I think it's 320 billion. I don't remember the numbers, but there's a lot of money spent every year on, training. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually closer to around 400 billion. I think on average, companies spend about $1,300 on training per employee, or something like that. So there's a lot of money being spent in the training space, and VR is proving to be much more effective from the learning standpoint, but also from the cost standpoint, as well as being obviously much more safe. So the VR AR training here to stay, going to continue to gain momentum, going to have more and more companies using it over these next 5 years. For sure.
And that's actually where kind of my work blends in, because we as a company, we actually did some immersive training experiences for Walmart. And it's crazy, before I started working with Exalter, formerly known as Steelhouse Productions, this is how I heard about the company, is the 360 immersive video experience. It's empathy training for their cashiers. So they basically produced actors that were going through the like checkout lines. Mm-hmm. And it was from the point of view from the cashier. And there were some like interactive layers of like, you would see the screen of the customer's phone, and it would be like some chaotic experience. But the point was that you weren't understanding what was going on from their perspective. But from their perspective, they're like stressed. They may not have enough money to pay for their medication, or, you know, something's going on in their life. So that was an interesting example of using immersive, like 360 immersive video specifically, and producing that in in a VR environment for that emotional experience. I thought that was very interesting to use that. So it has that social component, but we also just, you know, wrapped up a project with the Air Force where we basically created this training experience where you change the tire, the outboard tire of a CV-22 Osprey, which is an aircraft that's a hybrid of a plane and a helicopter. I kid you not. Look it up. CV-22. Wow. It's wild. But the problem with this aircraft is that, one, it's very expensive. It's a multi-million dollar aircraft. Two, it's typically in use. Three, there's not a lot of them. And four, you don't want new maintainers, is what they call them, working on them without good experience. They have to go through, of course, training. But they were looking for a solution to kind of bridge the gap of, like, we need more maintainers, but we don't want to put the wear and tear on this aircraft. How do we do that? Enter VR. So we took that and basically took the instructions that were pretty rigid from, like, an Air Force perspective of, like, remove this nut, place this bolt, you know?
Yeah.
So we got really familiar on how to actually change this tire. I think I could probably do it in my sleep now. But it's a full 6 degrees of freedom experience. So every single thing in there was built in Unity. It's awesome. We built in some data tracking. You know, we're happy with how that turned out. But that was a fun experience of kind of thinking through that design perspective of taking what you need and putting it into VR in an intentional way. Because, yes, the environment is really exploding right now, but I think where it's really going to matter is where that quality content is. It's the quality content that's going to stand out and be sustainable in the long run. Because as we all saw with the Oculus Go, I mean, it was a fantastic, it was like the first thing of its kind. But we just saw some crap content, some crap VR content out there, mostly because I'm sure companies wanted to say, like, hey, we have something out there on the Oculus Go headset. But you would get into it and you were like, what is this? This is just a skybox. What am I doing here? So that's kind of like where I was going with, you know, the quality, making sure people pay attention to the quality there, because some people don't have a baseline of what makes a VR experience a good experience. And they rely on industry experts like us to provide that to them. But I want people to become more informed on how to bridge that gap there, because it's not always inherent for the technology person to know how to design what you're trying to train. It's a symbiotic relationship in that process.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even talking with some of our clients, it is, you know, there is the technology component, of course, of you've got to do a good job. Your developers, but there's the truly understanding the end users is crucial. And like you said, you could change the tire yourself after, you know, that's exactly what a customer would want to hear is, okay, if you can understand this, then that gives me confidence that you can actually build this the right way for my employees. So I think it's great.
Yeah. And let's be fair. I have zero experience building planes, you guys. Let's just put that out there. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I may have a gray hair or two from that project, as we all do with fun projects. No, but for real, it was a really cool opportunity. So Jordan, what kind of advice would you have for those who are listening that maybe want to learn a little bit more about XR and, let's say, potentially pursue a career in the field?
Yeah. I mean, a couple things come to mind. There's the VR-AR Association.
Mm-hmm. Great association. I'm a part of them.
Yeah, checking out whether you're a student or whatever. I think if you're a student, it's
cheaper. It's like, I think it's $250.
Okay. So there's that, but there's also, especially, I guess we're starting to near the end of COVID, but there's still virtual conferences going on in VR, AR, where you can get exhibitor passes for super cheap. I would definitely recommend checking that out. I mean, and then there's the, okay, well, how do I start actually working in the industry? The obvious one is start learning Unity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's if you want to start actually developing VR content. But then more just like on the entrepreneurial side of things, just advice there, because I'm not a developer. I got into the space, luckily, thankfully, without being a developer. Just a bit of entrepreneurial advice is, man, if you have ideas, go do them. I validated myself as a great entrepreneur for having a bunch of great ideas. And that was not a great, I would just recommend to anyone, man, if you have an idea, just start talking to everybody about it. No one is going to steal your idea. And and just go for it. Just start to dive in and figure it out. And that's part of the process, and it's fun. So
That's right. Trust the process.
Yeah.
Always remind myself, trust the process. Very. So Jordan, this has been a great conversation. I think I've learned some new things, and I'm sure our audience have as well. So if someone wants to find you and follow Arbor XR, follow what you're working on, where can they find you?
Yeah. Best place is probably LinkedIn, honestly. I still have social media or like Twitter, Facebook, but I maybe log into Facebook once a week, and I'd never log into Twitter. So LinkedIn is a good spot to find me. I'd be happy to connect.
Cool. Well, log into Twitter to make sure no one's trying to spam out some Ray-Bans from your account.
I think that has happened. That's a good point.
Cool. Well, thank you for being on the show, Jordan. This was a great chat, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks, Ashley.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Coffee and Code, head on over to Apple Podcasts to leave a rate and review. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe to be notified when new episodes go live every Wednesday. Thank you for listening to Coffee and Code, and I'll see you next week.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
My Wrangler jeans from Walmart are legit my favorite go-to pants. They got that slim cut that's always fresh for going out.
Hey, what's up?
They're durable enough, even for my shift.
Water wrap!
And stretchy enough for when I want to kick back and chill with a movie. So basically, they can do it all, and on my budget. I mean, come on, you really can't beat all that. Shop your Wrangler pants at Walmart.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.